So, from the to Little Caesars Arena, we've got the sports opinions that matter to you. From the Driven Collision Studios, we make friends by accident. On the Game, 7:30 a.m.
The views and positions expressed in this program are those of the host and do not necessarily reflect the views and positions of the Game 7:30 a.m. Some may find the content of this program controversial or offensive.
It's time to play the game.
And he'd be right. Put on your big boy pants and buckle up. This isn't a safe space for weak takes or whining. You can say that this sports radio show is offensive-minded. Call the show at 517-300-4263. Text or call us through the Game 7:30 AM app. Message the Game 7:30 AM on Facebook.
Guess who's back? Back again.
Beanie's back.
Tell a friend.
Now, here's your host and professional Hellraiser, Beanie Howell.
First and 10 from the Packer 24. Goff takes the shotgun snap back, wants to throw over the middle. Got man wide open. Amon-Ra St. Brown. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Goff looked up, saw 14. There wasn't a Packer in sight. Lofted it to him inside the five, made the grab, dove into the end zone. 24 yards, second of the year for Amon-Ra. Goff up under center. Montgomery the lone back behind him. Laporta in motion to the left. Goff turns, gives to Montgomery, left side, finds a crease, spins into the end zone, touchdown Detroit Lions. The left side just opened up and five followed his blocking right to the house. Straight to the line they go. Goff up under center. Montgomery the lone back behind him, second and goal from the Packer 2. Montgomery again, cuts it left to the house, touchdown Detroit Lions. David Montgomery's second touchdown of the night, and the Lions extend their lead. Fourth and goal from the one for the Lions. Goff up under center. Single back is Montgomery. Goff takes, turns, gives to Montgomery. Straight up the gut. Fights his way in. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. David Montgomery powers it home, and the Lions extend their lead.
Vibrator.
You're next, ladies.
Vibrator.
Oh, yeah.
That about sums it up for the Lions Nation, doesn't it?
What's going on here?
It's Offensive Minded with me, Beanie, here on Lansing's only sports station, the Game, 7:30 a.m. So glad you can be with us on a victory lap Friday for those of you who count yourselves among the burgeoning, overpopulated Lions Honolulu Blue bandwagon. We got a lot to talk about with that, of course. But let me set the table first. Of course, you know all the ways to weigh in and interact with the program here. But let me remind you, the phone line, 517-300-4263. You can email the show, beanie@wvfnam.com. You can send us a Facebook message or comment, too. Just search Facebook for The Game 7:30 a.m. to do that. We'll read it on air and wrap with it that way. Same goes for the free Game 7:30 a.m. app. Click chat in the main menu. That'll send over a free text. We'll read that on air, okay? And before we get started, it is a Bean Counter Contest edition of the program today. You give me the total combined points, if any, scored between Michigan State and Iowa tomorrow in a game that is certain to make us want to rip our eyeballs out of our sockets for those of us who have to watch it for one reason or another. Total combined points between MSU and Iowa without going over, and whoever's closest, Price is Right rules, invoked, will win a $25 gift certificate to the Nut House of downtown Lansing. All right? We'll do that all day, and you can use any of the ways you interact with the show to submit your Bean Counter Contest pick. That'll be on the docket all day. But we have to start with your gridiron heroes. And I got some sound I want to play from last night. I actually recorded Dr. J's reaction to that game as it started to, well, after the Jared Goff interception, basically everything that happened on the ensuing four drives. I've got sound from each one. Here it is.
Vibrator. Vibrator. Vibrator.
You're next, ladies.
Oh, yeah. Vibrator.
Yeah, sounds like me. Oh, boy. Where did you find that sound?
Of Tim saying vibrator?
Yes.
He said it a week ago, and so I didn't hear it. Someone said he mentioned it on his show, and let me just take a look. I knew I'd get some utility out of it.
Wow.
Actually, it was 2 weeks ago. Oh. I've been waiting. I've been sitting on that for 2 weeks. Anyway, okay, cool. General reaction to that, Dr. J, seriously.
I am drunk on the Honolulu Blue Kool-Aid.
Yeah, okay, so 34-20. Really, it was over pretty quick, 27-3. I mean, Jared Goff made the one mistake on the evening. That's all I needed to see. Not that. When the Packers picked it off and settled for a field goal, yeah, I was pretty sure it wasn't going to be very competitive. You can get a feel for that thing, you know, sometimes. Mm-hmm. The Lions set the tone. They made a mistake, and then the defense set the tone. And that's pretty much it. I picked the Lions to win. And by the way, thanks to everyone who came out and saw us at Reno's North last night as we broadcast Nachos and Kneecaps, our very own Lions tailgate show, live on location there. It was good to see everybody. A shout out to my Coloma homeboy, Robin. It was nice to meet you. I had heard things about you from the mayor of Holt, John Freeberg, had told me, hey, man, I know a guy who's from Coloma, lives around here. Mm-hmm. I got to meet him. Shout out Robin from Coloma.
Very exciting.
What a small world. I worked with Robin's mom at the local grocery store for years there in my teenage-dom.
Yeah.
And my summers that I did come home from college. Anyway, small world. Good to see everybody. I also was happy to see Marnie. And people may not know who that is. If you listen to Michigan State football on these airwaves, specifically on our sister station, Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ, and 1240 WJIM Lansing's Big Talker, you have over the years. If you ever listen after the show when Jason Strayhorn takes over and like runs the post game where people can call in, I feel like one of the most recognizable voices is a very optimistic, incorruptible voice of Marnie, who calls in, and she's always so proud and happy.
And
so optimistic about her Spartans.
Yeah.
And she came out last night. I think she won some swag.
She did. So, she was very sweet.
So did Robin, too.
Yeah.
So all the good people won last night. That was great. But anyway, thanks to everybody for coming out. And if you couldn't make it, tuning in, appreciate that. We have another one coming up. We can start plugging that now.
Yeah.
Before I get back into the Lions, I do need to plug this. This is Lions related. Our next live on location, Nachos and Kneecaps Lions tailgate show, right here on the game, 7:30 a.m. and Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ, will take place for the Lions' Monday night football return. Their first Monday night game in, I think, since the Sam Darnold game in the Matt Patricia era. Man, that seems like forever ago now.
Mm-hmm.
That's Devil's Night, October 30th. And you can come out see us at Buffalo Wild Wings in East Lansing, and that is going to be in frickin' sane.
Should be fun.
That's...
Are we going to wear costumes?
Buffalo Wild Wings on Devil's Night in East Lansing is crazy enough. Then we're going to bring the show there with the hype of the Lions and all mm-hmm. of that. The only thing more crazy will be Ford Field that evening. You know, that's the only thing that's going to be more lit, as the kids would say. Anyway, mark your calendars. Monday, October 30th, Devil's Night. Come see me and Brock and Dr. J for Nachos and Kneecaps, our very own Lions tailgate show, broadcasting live. That'll be 6 p.m. to, is that right? Yeah, about 6 p.m. to 7:10 or 7:15 or so at night there at Buffalo Wild Wings in downtown East Lansing, right there on Albert Avenue. That'll be fun. That'll be a good time. Maybe we should do costumes.
Yeah? I could dress up like a lion.
Wow, very inventive. I guess, I don't know. What can I come as? The ghost of the fear of Jordan Love?
Yeah, could be.
That's over. Look, I tried to tell people. I tried to tell people that just because he had a good game against the against the Bears and then orchestrated a huge comeback against an actually good defense last week, that's still a very small sample size, and there are still plenty of things to be concerned about with his development. And also there's this. Even if he is better than anyone expected, there are always going to be growing pains with a new starting quarterback. It just happens. And you saw a few of them last night, but really I thought this was all about the Lions owning the line of scrimmage, particularly defensively. I know Aiden Hutchinson, you know, got a sack last night, but really this was more about the Lions' interior defensive line just destroying those three backup Packers in the middle of that O-line. That was dominant. And that's basically the game right there, right? That decided it. Love had, he had pressure right up the middle the whole damn game. It didn't really change. And outside of, you know, I think there's really one big play, and it was that one that the Packers got off with zero time on the clock in the third quarter somehow.
Yeah, which shouldn't have counted, but whatever.
To Jaden Reed. That was it. That was the one big play for them, really.
Yeah.
After a first half that was dominant the likes of, I don't remember the last time I saw something like that. So here's my takeaway, Dr. J. I was thinking about it last night, and it goes something like this. The Bears are the new Lions.
Yes. Yes, they are.
Right? The Vikings are the new Bears.
Oh.
The Packers are the new Vikings. Mm-hmm. And the Lions are the new Packers.
Yeah, we are.
That's the hierarchy of the NFC North until determined otherwise. Certainly for the rest of this season.
Yes.
The Lions now effectively have a two-game lead. I know it's one game, but you got the tiebreaker now over Green Bay, beating them head-to-head. By the way, the Lions don't play another division game to the back half of the season. And it looks like five wins. Two against Minnesota, two against the Bears, that's for sure two wins. And then the return against the Packers on Thanksgiving, which you got to feel really good about, too. It's premature, I know, and it's the NFL, and crazy stuff happens all the time, and bad teams beat good teams every single weekend, and it just takes one injury to completely change the complexion of the entire playoff outlook. But I don't care. I can say it now. I feel like the Lions clinched the NFC North last night. I feel like that's already over with.
Yeah.
I feel like we're talking about playoff seeding and positioning now. Right? That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah, that was the most important game, I think, for them to determine that.
Actually, you know, I take that back. The biggest development last night, by a long shot, is that the result caused Dr. J to finally get all aboard. I had people texting me invoking Deion Sanders, Coach Prime, saying, "Does she believe now? Does she believe yet?"
Yes. Yes, I do.
Are you going on the record?
Yes, I am.
Now, you have to commit to that. You can't be a coward.
When have I ever been a coward?
That means if they turn around and lose next week,
I still believe in
them. Carolina, you That's can't fine. Go back on it. You know, you have to invest.
Sometimes you lose.
Yeah, it's the NFL. Mm-hmm. It happens. By the way, speaking of that, let's take a look at the schedule here. Because they are set up to go on one hell of a run. They get basically a mini bye. That's the downside to playing Thursday night is you get 4 days. The upside is you get a mini bye after. And it looks like Brian Branch's ankle needs that. Sidebar, coaching malpractice to let that guy back in the game.
Why would they have done that? They didn't need him.
I'm glad that the x-rays were negative. That's great. Mm-hmm. But why would they let him go back in when the game was comfortably in hand and then looked like he aggravated it again?
Stupid.
Then they decided not to let him play anymore. I don't get that, but whatever. I don't think it's a huge deal. I think he'll be all right, especially because you get this mini bye before you bring Carolina into Ford Field next week. And after that, you go to Tampa. After that, you go to Baltimore. All right, that'll be a tougher test. Then you come home for that, Devil's Night, Monday night game, Nachos and Kneecaps live at Buffalo Wild Wings in East Lansing against the Raiders. Then you go to the Chargers. Excuse me, you get a bye week. Then you go to the Chargers. Home versus the Bears. Thanksgiving Day, home versus Green Bay, of course. At New Orleans. At Chicago, home versus the hapless Broncos. At Minnesota. At Dallas. And home versus the Vikings to wrap it all up on January 7th. A lot can happen, good and bad, in between them. But now let's take a look at it this way. Who are the quarterbacks they're going to be facing? Next week, Bryce Young. If he can go. If he doesn't, it's Andy Dalton. Mm-hmm. Week after that, they're at Baker Mayfield. After that, at Lamar Jackson. I get it. He's a dynamic athlete, but he will give you the ball at least once per game, probably more. After that, they get Jimmy Garoppolo at home. After that, okay, at L.A., so you got to deal with Justin Herbert. Speaking of Justin's, then you get a return. You return home to get Justin Fields or what's left of him after the Bears have completely broken him.
Oh, no.
Then you get Jordan Love on Thanksgiving. Then you get Derek Carr on the road. Then you go to Chicago. You get another shot at Justin Fields, which is just unfair at this point. Then you bring in the disaster of, I don't know what to call it. The shriveled up remains of Russell Wilson. Then at Kirk Cousins. Then at Dak. Then home versus Kirk Cousins. So they're 3-1 right now. I think the bare minimum expectation now is 12-5.
Yeah.
So that would be, go 9-4 the rest of the way.
That seems realistic.
It does. It does. I think that's the floor, 12-5. And if you do that, you're setting yourself up to be in the discussion for like a top 3 seed. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. I still think San Francisco is the most complete team in all of the NFL. Even with the Mr. Irrelevant quarterback, who I'm not sold on, but it may not matter because they're so good elsewhere. Then probably, yeah, I would still give the Eagles an edge. But I think the Lions are right there with Philly. Mm-hmm. I think there's a considerable difference between them and the 49ers, but I think they're right there with Philly. But here's the thing. You get in the playoffs, take care of business. Maybe someone else does you a favor and knocks San Francisco out. What I'm saying is, I know this is new for the fan base, at least for most of you, but time to embrace like where you are. And like I'm harping the last 2 weeks on Michigan State fans for calling in saying, What about the Ferris State coach? Or, what about Jim McElwain? Like, I'm bitching at State fans. Think bigger. I'm going to say the same thing as the Lions fans now. Think bigger. This is no longer about just winning the NFC North or even just hosting a playoff game. Like, you are right there. You are in the mix. And there are a lot of stats that speak to the gravity of this situation. And here's one. Dr. J, I need to make sure you're sitting down.
Okay.
And I need to make sure you're not near anything fragile.
No, I think I'm good. I have coffee, but that's it.
Okay. Also,
vibrator.
Make sure that's... this might have the same effect.
Oh, boy.
I saw this per NFL research. I read this on Twitter. The Lions are the sixth team in NFL history to win 2 primetime road games in September. They're the sixth team to ever do that. Of the previous 5, 3 of them went to the Super Bowl. 2 won the Super Bowl. Huh. Embrace that.
I just can't even. I can't even think about that.
Embrace that.
Oh,
by the way,
goodness.
The other 2 won their division, the bare minimum.
Okay.
So that's what we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
Increase your scope.
Is it our year? Should I go get a tattoo?
When you're learning to drive, they always harp on you to increase your look-ahead distance.
Yeah,
I think that's where we are.
You think that we should all go get Super Bowl tattoos?
No. I'm saying you need to be thinking bigger of, we're top dog in the NFC North now.
Mm-hmm.
Stakes are way higher than that. Way higher. And did you see like how thorough and complete that was?
Yeah.
Last night? Like, and again, try not to get too carried away about beating the hell out of the Packers. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was, first of all, you've now won there 5 times in the last 9 trips. You have a winning record at Lambeau against the Packers in the last 9 seasons.
Yeah.
That means you should go in expecting to win.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
That's not the big deal. So, and don't put too much stock into beating the hell out of them, because like I tried to tell you, I don't think they're very good this year. This isn't about contending this year for them. And, you know, Jordan Love, kind of a mirage so far. We'll mm-hmm. see what happens there. But the bigger deal is the entire body of work and how they're doing it. Like, I looked up some stats here. You know, Green Bay was really excited because they got Aaron Jones back last night. And as far as you could tell, watching the game, he might as well still have been out. He carried the ball 5 times for 18 yards. Non-factor. And then you take a look at what the Lions have done recently. Last week, they held Bijan Robinson under 50 yards rushing. The week before that, they did the same to Kenneth Walker III. The week before that, they did it to the Chiefs. Go back to last season. They did it to a lot of teams during that 8-2 run. They held these starting running backs to practically nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other side of it is they run the ball effectively. Now, obviously, last night, you know, David Montgomery is playing not 100%, couldn't tell. 32 carries, 121 yards, 3 touchdowns. I know that that's not an impressive average, 3.8 yards per carry. It doesn't matter. It wasn't about that. It was about attitude,
mm-hmm.
and it was about the principle of it. Go ahead, stack the box. You can't stop it. 4th and goal, 3rd and goal, whatever it is, 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3, 4th and 2. They line up in that heavy set. Packers come out, basically a goal line defense. They don't care. Run it right down their throats. Can't stop it. It's about the message and the attitude and really the heart of it, right?
Grit.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Man.
But that combo of those two things, I want to make sure we're not overlooking that and underselling just how important that is. They are shutting down the other team's run game and dominating the other team at the line of scrimmage with their run game, imposing their will on them on both sides in the ground game. That is as old a formula for sustained success in football as there is.
That's how you win, yeah.
That has been the change since the start of the 8-2 run last year, and it's continued on this year. That is the bread and butter. And that is an incredibly sustainable recipe for success in the NFL. It always has been, probably always will be. And they do it. And they do it well. That's huge. That's absolutely huge. That's why I think, let's stop talking about the NFC North. And let's stop talking about, oh my gosh, we're going to host our first playoff game in 30 years. Mm-mm. Think bigger.
It's
think about winning that playoff game. Think about making a serious run. Because the things they do that are at the core of their formula are the two most important things there are to do in football at any level. And most importantly, they're the two most replicable things. They're two things that travel with you when you go on the road into a tough environment. You're an indoor team that plays on fake grass, but you do two things that outdoor teams are supposed to have the advantage of you over you on. And you do them better. Who has been running the ball more effectively with a more physical and imposing offensive line while shutting down the other team's run game? Who's been doing that combo better than the Lions over the last season and a half? I'm here till 6 o'clock. Someone tell me. Maybe San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Philadelphia. That's it. That's it. That's the rarefied air you're in now. That's why I'm saying, forget about the division. Forget about just hosting a playoff game. What the Lions do and have continued to demonstrate that they're capable of doing and replicating week after week now for a sustained amount of time, almost a full season's worth of games. This has been going on. That's the kind of foundation that a serious, serious contender has. That's what we're talking about now. And I know it's we're only 4 games in. I understand that. And I know you just pounded probably a mediocre team with a first-year quarterback. I understand why some people might want to put some, you know, put the brakes on a little bit. I understand. And I also understand you might be a little scared of the success. Like, you don't want to jinx it. I get that. But, like, the same thing I've been telling Michigan State fans about the coaching search, grow a pair and act like what you are. I've been telling State fans, stop treating this like you're a MAC school. Stop talking about coaches from Division III or Group of Five schools. Guys who have been in the Group of Five for 7+ years. Stop thinking that way. You're a top 20 job, top 15 job. Same approach with the Lions. Don't think about a team that's just happy to get to the playoffs. This is more. Act like what you are, which is a bona fide, solid, demonstrable contender to win the whole damn thing. And I know that makes you uncomfortable. But get comfortable being uncomfortable, I guess, because that's what they are. That doesn't mean it's guaranteed. Oftentimes, the most dominant teams, it just takes one injury to ruin everything. That could happen to anyone. Mm-hmm. Look at San Francisco, right? They were playing with a running back at quarterback last season in the NFC title game. That can derail things. But you can't be scared. You can't play scared about it. You can't act scared. I'll tell you what, the guys on the team ain't. The entire paradigm has shifted. I guess what I'm trying to say is welcome to the hunt. Because you're not the hunter anymore. You're the hunted. Everyone's going to be gunning for the Lions now because they are a top dog, or I guess to stay in line with the branding, top cat. They're not at the mountaintop yet, but you can see it. It's a big development, man. I want to take your temperature on that. Are you comfortable with that? Are you ready to say it? As a long-suffering Lions fan, are you ready to accept, and more than that, embrace that this team is a bona fide championship contender? And I'm not just making that hot take out of what they did to a mediocre team with a first-year starting quarterback last night that has injuries galore. Nope. It's about a holistic look at the last, basically, season's worth of games. We are now at 14 games where they've done this. And their record over those 14 games is what? 11-3?
Mm-hmm.
Guys, that's not a fluke. It's also not a trend. That's the norm. That's what they are. Do you accept it? And are you ready to embrace it? And do you think the Lions are a bona fide Super Bowl contender now? That, along with your bean counter contest predictions, I want to hear them, and here are the ways. Phone line 517-300-4263. Email the show, beanie@wvfnam.com. You can use Facebook, send us a message or comment. Just search Facebook for The Game 730 AM to do that. Or use the free Game 730 AM app. Click chat in the main menu. Sends over a free text. We'll take your hot takes and bean counter picks that way. I got some already. We'll get to those on the other side. And I also wanted to plug other things coming up. I got more good news for the Lions, and it has nothing to do with what happened on the field last night. You're getting a big weapon back way early,
mm-hmm.
as in next game.
Yep.
We'll talk about that because there's a big change in the NFL's approach to handling something, and it's going to pay dividends at least immediately for the Lions. We'll get into that. I also, you know, have the weekly pick segment coming up next hour. Stay tuned for that. And I want to dig in on, first of all, Brett McMurphy is reporting something about the Michigan State head coaching search that is, I'll be honest with you, it's hard for me not to go thermonuclear over. We'll get to it. And then I want to spend a little time on Pat Fitzgerald's reported lawsuit against Northwestern. We mentioned it yesterday when we saw that news break because that, you know, could portend some things for State. And speaking of, Mel Tucker has formally let State know that there is a lawsuit, a wrongful termination case coming. All that and more here today. Oh, and yeah, I guess we'll talk Michigan State and Iowa because we have to.
Do we have to?
The bigger question is, how am I going to talk about that for 2 hours tomorrow on the Whitelaw PLLC tailgate show? Just 2 hours of like, do we have to watch this? This is an affront to the game of football.
Oh, it's going to be bad.
We could bring, like, we could perform some dark magic to make Red Grange's corpse reanimate. And he'd come out of the game, out of the grave and watch that game tomorrow and be like, this is boring. And they didn't have the forward pass when I played. It's Offensive Minded. I'm Beanie. This is the game, 7:38.
Edinburgh.
It's the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show on the Lansing Sports Network, the Big Talker, 1240 WJIM, and Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ, a tradition in Lansing for over 20 years. With your hosts, the Dean of Sports, Tim Stout, and offensive-minded host, Beanie Howell. Powered by Whitelaw PLLC, Doubting Industries, Shupan and Sons Recycling Industrial Services, Gravity Smokehouse, and Chandler's Top Shelf. This is the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show.
More.
Beanie with Offensive Minded.
Honest to God, I could listen to that forever. You know, from his lips to God's ears. Inject that right into my veins.
On the game, 7:30 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
That is how I felt listening to that, because he's right.
Beanie Howell with Offensive Minded.
And we're back. It's Offensive Minded. I'm Beanie. This is the game, 7:30 a.m. Yeah, it's a Bean Counter Contest edition of the program. A chance for you to win a $25 gift certificate to the Nut House of downtown Lansing just by getting the total combined points, if there are any at all, between Michigan State and Iowa tomorrow night without going over, as if that's possible. Mm-hmm. The Price is Right rules for the Bean Counter Contest, okay? So here's how you get me those picks. Phone line 517-300-4263. Email beanie@wvfnam.com. Facebook, send us a message or comment there. Search Facebook for the game 7:30 a.m. to do that. Or use the free game 7:30 a.m. app where you just click chat and it sends over a free text message to us. I'm going to go in order. So the very first submission today comes via email, and this is from the horse racing handicap enthusiast, formerly known as Daily Double, Steve from email, who says, Beanie, I am headed to the racetrack right now. I pre-texted this just in case you have MSU total points football. You pick them. It's not a you pick them. I ought to not count it.
It's a bean counter, Steve.
Get the branding right. Otherwise, go listen to this for 3 hours every day.
Vibrator.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, he's saying 48. And as the first one, of course, it is available. I will allow you to have it.
He said 48?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
It's without going over. He knows that, right?
Well, there's no way they're going over that.
No, but he'll be over.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Well, maybe he knows something we don't.
Okay.
Look, I could see it. I don't think it's crazy because, and we'll get into this in the pick segment, remember, Brian Ferentz has to average 25 points per game this year to keep his job.
Oh.
And let's just say he's a little bit behind pace. What I'm saying is if they are able to move the ball against State, which I'm not convinced they will, not because State's any good, but because Iowa is basically a group of cavemen on the football field on offense. If they're able to, they are not going to stop. This will not be a have mercy situation because no. He has to keep his job.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see it. He continues, also, the Lions look good and should do well in their division, but I am not drinking the blue Kool-Aid yet. That's from Steve from email. Well, I just got to ask then to your last point, because that's another question we're talking about today. I guess you could put it that way. Are you drinking the Honolulu blue Kool-Aid yet with the Lions destroying the Packers last night and taking, essentially, in my view, clinching the NFC North last night?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the bigger takeaway is they're a genuine contender for the whole thing this year. And I'm asking you if you believe the same, but you can phrase it as, are you drinking the blue Kool-Aid yet? Steve says no. And I just got to ask then, and I'm not trying to be mean or do a radio shtick. What the hell is it going to take?
Yeah. What do they have to do?
Don't you get in on this?
No, I told you after the Chiefs win that I'm in. I am all in. I'm drinking
and
that Kool-Aid.
And then they lost to the Seahawks and you were right
in.
Back.
No, you
weren't. No, you weren't.
Yes, I was.
No, you weren't. You were chicken littling.
You are misrepresenting. I was still in.
What's it going to take? And it's not just a Steve from email thing. There's a lot of them still out there. I get it. You've got generational trauma. I understand. But what the hell does that have to do with this group of guys? The only vestige left from all of that misery is the owner. That's it. And I don't think she's that involved. She actually hired a couple of dudes who have worked out. Now, I'm not gonna pull Detroit media and write some glowing, just sycophancy articles about her, because listen, even broken clocks are right twice a day. Eventually, you take enough swings, you're going to get a base hit. But the point is, none of those people are around anymore. Why do we keep bringing that up? I'm at a point where I wonder, the Lions, if they win the Super Bowl, there'll still be a group of people like, yeah, but I bet they won't win another one. Like, some people will just never be satisfied.
Right. Or they want to be losers.
Frankly, some people will be too big of a FCC non-compliant term that no matter what they do, they will never be comfortable being confident about the Lions.
Yeah.
I can understand that to a point, but there comes a point where it's like, dude, what are you in this for? Why do you still watch if you're that big of a coward about it?
Mm-hmm.
Unless you just, you know, are a masochist, you're into that? Like,
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, Steve is on the board at 48. I'll get to the calls here, so hang on there 1 second. Let me get some digital ones in here. Annie Morris in East Lansing is on the board, Dr. J, I believe, at 38, right? Because he took 48. So
yes,
you're in Annie Morris and EL at 38. And why don't I go to the phone line now? 517-300-4263. Michael, is that you?
Yes.
Michael, where are you calling from?
Well, I'm on my way going north, so I was listening to the show because I got another hour to listen to.
All right.
So, you said, what's it going to take? Well, at the end of the season, the Lions on top of the division, Jared Goff not getting hurt, because if he gets hurt, we're going to be in some big trouble, because their backups aren't the best in the world. Defense is looking pretty decent. Running game is looking decent. And what's making it the Lions so good this year is that offensive line. They got a big offensive line, and they're giving Goff. Goff doesn't have to run for his life all the time. He got hit a couple good times yesterday, but that offensive line is making a huge, huge difference, and finally we have one, because we've never had one, because all the quarterbacks prior were always running for their life 3 seconds after being in the backfield.
So let me get this straight. You're still not aboard, is what you're telling me.
Well, put it this way. I'm older than you, and my heart's been broken many, many more years than yours has. So I was in Vegas in August, and I put a bet out there for the Lions to win the division. What I really wanted to bet on was for the Lions to win the division and win the playoff game, but they didn't have that at the Flamingo.
Okay. And how much did you put down?
I also threw just $20.
What would that return? Probably not a lot then, right?
It was 400 and something.
Oh, okay. That's a good haul. What else? Go ahead.
And then I also put a $20 bet for the Lions to win it all.
Now, that would have a nice return. What's that got to be?
Yeah. It was close to a grand.
Cool.
But, yeah, and I'm just saying, I'm 60, so I've been around a little bit longer than you have, and my heart's been broken many, many more times than yours.
I understand that, but none of those people are around anymore. You know, this is a completely different crew, and we're not basing this off of, like, just the four games this year. This has basically been a season's worth of games now. This is 14 games where this formula has basically been consistent and sustained and incorruptible. Well, I get it that's still a spit in the ocean compared to your... I don't know about that. Because even you just said it yourself. You just said it yourself, Michael. Even in the Barry years, they didn't have a good offensive line. And that was the last time they were any good.
Well, many years they have not had an offensive line. Thank God they got a good one this time around.
Well, that's my point.
Not to mention,
I don't want to hear about your heart was broken all those years when they never had an offensive line. This is different now. That's the point I'm making. Like, this is sustainable, dude.
However, the Lions have jumped out to a great record, and in the second half have been toast.
When Jim Schwartz was the head coach.
Now, hopefully, now, you know, I'm a lifelong Lions fan, always will be. So, you know, I'm optimistic, and that would be great if they did. Can you imagine the Detroit, Michigan, and not to mention all those fans that were in Kansas City and in Green Bay? I mean, those are seats that have been sold out forever, and there was a ton of Lions fans at both those venues.
Yeah. Do you have a, before I let you go, do you have a pick for the MSU-Iowa combined points?
Yeah, I'll go with what I did on Tim Stout's show earlier, and the combined would be, 41.
All right, you're on the board. I appreciate the call, Mike. Safe travels up north, okay? Thanks, man. I'll go to, this says, wow, this is interesting. I've never seen the caller ID say anonymous before. Ooh. Anonymous, who is this?
Super Rusty there from Detroit.
Ah, yes. Well, that's, how do you get your caller ID to say that? That's very cool.
I didn't know it said that. It must have randomly did it.
It's
a selective type of situation. Some of these phones do that. I was going to say that, so we're talking about the Lions, and then, of course, I wanted to follow up on the Mel Tucker saga. But to start with the Detroit Lions, here's the thing. Everybody, go ahead, get ahead of yourselves if you want to. I mean, I would say to properly gauge this team properly, at least let them get three quarters through the season, at least let them be knocking on the door of a wild card, at least let them actually be in a hunt for a playoff before you go getting all willy-nilly. But if you want to do that, do it. Guess what? I'm going to be the guy betting on the other end of that situation. My thing is this. Detroit Lions have showed time and time and time again, when you get your hopes up too high, when you don't properly gauge the season properly, you're setting yourself up for letdown. And I just hope a lot of you won't put your money where your heart and your feelings are without seeing the product actually getting that much more closer, actually getting close, if they can get that much more closer to the playoffs, actually winning a playoff game.
What is that point for you? What is that point where you would feel comfortable about it then?
Like I said, right there, comfortably going into the playoffs. So that would mean that they have a playoff spot to go. No, actually, you know what? A playoff win. If they can successfully get a playoff win, then I can say, hey, you know what? I'm going to start putting some money back on the Lions again. You know what I'm saying? I'll buy in.
Okay.
Because I haven't bought into those guys since Megatron, Golden Tate, and all of that. I like a couple of players over there. I like Amon-Ra. Golf is cool. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty much rooting for individual players every now and then. But them as a team, I don't trust them, and all that stuff. And I would say too, Brad Holmes.
Yeah.
Brad Holmes. I feel like he needs to do his due diligence and give Kaepernick a tryout. I don't even care if Kaepernick can't play anymore. Him as an African-American man should give Kaepernick some type of third-string tryout. That's just my sentiments of Detroiters, how we feel here in Detroit. It's just the principle of it.
Well, they already have Teddy Bridgewater, though.
American,
right?
Like, no, but then you have the hooker.
Now, yeah, Hendon Hooker.
If you have Hooker, and he is, from what I'm hearing, he's not 100%, so
correct.
He can be challenged. He can be challenged. Kaepernick can challenge him and overdo him. And then, you know, there you go. Hooker can find himself another team. But that's my whole point of that is being, you only got so many African-American GMs in the league. And for him not even to speak on it, something, you know, somebody has to bring that to his attention and say, hey, man, at least try to get a man a tryout. But other than that, let's get to the Mel Tucker.
All right, go ahead.
Mel Tucker saga. Now, MSU did it wrong, and it may come back to haunt them. Okay, let's say, for instance, it was just about getting rid of him. They could have went about it more in a better type of way. They could have said, you know what, we want to renegotiate your contract. We feel as though we don't want to give you that many years. We don't want to give you that much money. So we want to bring you back after a year. We'll let this all simmer down after a year. We'll renegotiate your contract and give you 3 to 4 years to prove yourself from there, and you we'll deduct some of that money and we'll go from there. But for them just to say, we want to get rid of you altogether, they're jumping the gun, they're going to pay for it, and it was a much classier, better way they could have went about it if it was more than just the phone sex, okay? It's more than phone sex. So they call themselves not being confident in him now, but God don't like ugly. If you go about, well, Mel Tucker, he did ugly too. What he did wasn't right because, you know, he should have had way more class than that and doing what he did. And I feel as though, you know, and I do feel as though she could have made it more clearer to him going forward. But with that being
said, what does
said,
that MSU, mean? Hold on. What do you mean by that? She could have made what more clear? I don't know what you mean.
Well, you know what I'm saying. It's the key thing is this.
No, I don't. That's why I'm asking. I don't know what you're saying.
That's what I'm trying to tell you right now. If you're having conversations after hours constantly with a person, they weren't talking business. They were accepting conversations between each other after hours, more about 30, 40 calls.
Yeah,
he might have a chance with her.
I understand. I think a lot of people have brought that up. Like if there wasn't something, you know, outside of a platonic relationship going on, why were there so many calls so late into the evening that went for more than 5 minutes? I understand that. I get that. But my response to that is, what does that have to do with why they fired him? Like, they don't need any of that to fire him. The fact that he, like, I'm asking genuinely, do you understand, like, their whole legal position is, if I'm speaking as MSU, basically what they're selling Mel Tucker in those letters is, you admitted in a Title IX investigation on the record that you masturbated on a phone call and made sexual comments to someone you hired and contracted with in a university, position in a university fashion to do business with your football program. You admitted to doing those things. That's enough right there. That's breaching the material terms of your contract. You're fired. That's why they fired him. You're like, do you get that? Because that's the legal position.
But again, I think me and you had already established this was about more than just phone sex. It's about they lost trust in him as
an actual head coach
to actually take his team to the promised land. But again, if they didn't jump the gun so soon, because he had a great season. So if you want to give him 2.5 seasons to make something happen, you jump the gun. Initially, you gave the man 10 years. Why not give him a few more? No, why not give him a few more years? Give him a year off. Let it simmer down. Bring him back.
Yeah.
See what he can do with it with another few
more
years.
Well, I think you're 100% right. Like we talked before, I think you're 100% right that part of this is there is definitely a silver lining that they'll never admit because they had lost faith in his ability to produce as the head coach of this program, and probably at the highest levels, maybe not at the university, but in movers and shaker positions. I know that people in positions of influences, I know for a fact, had lost confidence in him and in the future of this program. I definitely think that's going on for sure. I just don't.
Well,
I will. Give me one too. Second. I'm just saying. I don't know what universe you're living in where you think that their response to this would be, okay, sit out the rest of the year and we'll renegotiate your contract for a lesser rate. First of all, I don't know anyone at Michigan State who would ever do that. Second of all, Mel Tucker's deal was fully guaranteed. That's why he's suing. He would never agree to that either.
That's not true. Guess what? The alternative is we fire you all outright or we renegotiate. Which one do you think he would have took? He would have renegotiated because other than that, they just fired him outright.
I don't know that because his lawyers seem to think they're about to get 79 point whatever million dollars through this wrongful termination lawsuit that they're preparing.
Well, I think they should at least put that on the table. But again, MSU, you mark my words. Mark my words. They're going to pay for it. They're going to pay for it. Because
what does that mean? Do you mean they're literally going to have to pay the rest? Is that what you mean? They're going to have to pay the full balance?
No. I mean, far as recruiting, their season, seasons to come.
It's going to hurt the program is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's going to really impact them. But anyway, back to Brad Holmes. I want more African Americans to call into your show and see what they think about Brad Holmes giving Colin Kaepernick an actual tryout, as well as the other GMs, African American GMs around the league, giving Colin Kaepernick a tryout because he took a knee before there was a knee placed on George Floyd's neck.
That's true.
Therefore, he deserves a tryout. I don't care if he's good enough or not. It's the principle of it. Give the man a tryout. He was blackballed. And then you got the nerd to have Jay-Z up in there. Oh, yeah, I'm Jay-Z. I'm helping with Super Bowl shows. Bro, Jay-Z, you're supposed to be there to help Colin Kaepernick, and you're supposed to be there to help minorities get a team. He's supposed to be there to help minorities get a full-on team. This guy's just sitting up there doing Super Bowl, so I question his strength in the NFL.
That was a real sellout move.
Going to be the one, though.
I'm with you, man. Yeah. That was a real sellout move. And, hey, thanks for the call. I appreciate it, man.
Okay.
Appreciate it. First of all, I got to go to break, so callers hang on the line. But I'm with you on that. Like, I would like to hear more black representation on my show in sports media and sports, period. I think I mentioned this last week, Dr. J. Ever since I first got into, like, sports as, like, a preteen or whatever, I can remember saying out loud to the adults in the room, isn't it weird that this, in the NFL case, isn't it weird that the players are, like, 60% or more are black and there's only, like, 3 black coaches?
Yeah, it's not right.
Yeah, well, obviously, right? I'm not saying it should be a complete one-to-one with the ratio, but can we be real? It should be higher.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Same goes for the GM ranks.
Absolutely.
And obviously, Colin Kaepernick was obviously blackballed.
Yeah.
There is, you know, collusion against him because is he one of the 32 best at starting quarterback? Maybe not anymore, but I guarantee you there are backups he's better than.
He could be a backup. Yeah, the Jets should take him.
Well, speaking of that, did you see what he did this week?
I saw,
He sent a letter to the Jets, and this, I think, was genius because there's no excuse not to try this now.
No.
Especially in their case.
Right.
But he sent a letter to the Jets and said, I know the season isn't going the way you want it because of a very unfortunate injury, and I feel bad for Aaron Rodgers, and I hope he's doing okay, and I hope you guys will consider signing me to your practice squad.
Yeah.
At the very least, I can help you prepare your team every week for the different mobile quarterbacks you'll be playing, like Lamar Jackson, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, and if it comes to the point where you want to have some competition with Zach Wilson to try someone else, I'd be happy to do it. But I'd be coming in with the sole expectation of being the practice squad quarterback.
Yeah.
I thought that was genius. Mm-hmm. First of all, as a guy who's been blackballed, as Rashid said, that's completely right.
Absolutely.
I like that he's trying a different approach. Instead of just calling out because that didn't work, he's putting the ball in their court. And he's saying, I don't even want to come in and compete for the job. I'm just, bring me on for the bare minimum, the veteran minimum, and I'm going to be your practice squad quarterback to help this team going forward.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was genius.
Yeah.
Genius idea.
They should do it, too. I don't understand why they wouldn't.
Yes, you do.
Well, it's the blackballing, but it only makes sense.
The league decided years ago he will never play again.
That's stupid.
Never.
It's stupid.
Because he took a knee during the Magic Flag song.
Oh, no.
And
horrible.
That's not tolerable.
How dare he? Whatever. That's so
stupid. I agree
stupid
he did
to me.
Some egregious things like wearing the pig socks. You know, cops as pigs is not a good move.
Mm.
I think you can make the point that a lot of cops in this country have a serious PR image when it comes to how they handle unarmed minorities.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can make that case without wearing socks. That is one of the most time-honored epithets against police ever.
Yeah.
There's a better way to make that. But make no mistake, that's not why he's out of the league.
No,
it's because of the knee during the flag.
Which is so ridiculous to me because it's a non-violent form of protest. Like, isn't that what the country's built on?
Well, that's what I hear from half of the country all the time. Find a different way to protest peacefully. And then they do. And they, well, not like that.
Yeah. How do you want us to protest then?
Also,
come on.
Like the whole anthem, and I don't want to dig this back up.
No, we probably shouldn't get into
whole,
that, huh?
The whole anthem before sports games is not some sacred thing. It started basically during World War II.
Mm-hmm.
To like separate ourselves from a secular Nazi Germany and then more so against a secular Soviet Union mm-hmm. afterward. That's where we drew the line in the sand. This is not some 100-plus-year-old sacred tradition. And what gets me most about it is when I confront or I'm confronted by someone who thinks kneeling during the anthem is some incredibly blasphemous, disrespectful thing to do. It's like a personal affront to someone who's served.
No.
That's what I get. I hear people say, there are people who have laid down everything for that flag. This is disrespectful to them and even to the people who didn't lay down, who just served plain and simple, came back fine. It's disrespectful to them. And my point is, didn't they fight to protect this right?
Yeah.
If we were over there fighting those wars to keep people from saying what's on their mind or for voicing a particular opinion. I guess I missed that memo.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure the oath they all take is to uphold the virtue of the Constitution, which is predicated on freedom of speech.
Right.
And even if you, it doesn't matter what your political slant on this is, and this is a 10-year-old issue, and that's kind of my point. This has been over for a while. Just like his career.
And many more people have knelt since. Is it just because he's the first one?
But he was the poster boy.
Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly why. Someone had to take the fall for it.
Yeah.
And a group of 31, not 32, because the Packers don't have an owner. But a group of 31 billionaire, mostly white men
mm-hmm.
came together and decided this is how we're going to settle this. It's obviously not fair.
No.
But, you know, neither is life or the world. And mm-hmm. that's where we are. Obviously, Colin Kaepernick deserved a crack and into this crap long before this. And whether you think he can still start in the league is immaterial. I guarantee you there are at least 20 backup quarterbacks he's better than.
Yep.
And the Jets should have signed him the minute Rodgers' Achilles exploded.
Yep.
And I bet he's still better than Zach Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
At least with Colin Kaepernick in your locker room, all you have to worry about is a potential kneeling during the Magic Flag song, not some guy hunting down every mom on the team. It's Offensive Minded. I'm Beanie. This is the Game 7:30.
Sure, you could listen to static.
Or you could get the free Game 7:30 AM mobile app in your app store today and listen longer
without the interruptions from the static.
Listen live to all your favorite moments in sports and hear all the action. The Game 7:30 AM app also has tons of great restaurant deals for you. It's waiting for you right now in the app store today. The Game 7:30 AM app is powered by Driven Collision. We make friends by accident.
Attention, golf course.
From Comerica Park to Jackson Field, we've got the sports opinions that matter to you. From the Driven Collision Studios, we make friends by accident. On the Game, 7:30 a.m.
It's Offensive Minded. We're back here. I'm Beanie, the Game, 7:30 a.m. All right. It's a Bean Counter Contest special today. Total combined points, if any, between Michigan State and Iowa tomorrow night. You think NBC and Peacock are regretting that choice?
Absolutely.
Yikes. Anyway, total combined points between Spartans and Hawkeyes tomorrow, 7:30 kick at Kinnick under the lights. Without going over, Price is Right rules are in effect. Whoever's closest, again, without going over, wins a $25 gift certificate to the Nut House downtown Lansing. And then I'm also talking Lions. Not so much about them pounding a mediocre Packers team with decimated by injuries with a first-year starting quarterback, although, you know, that I think they pretty much clinched the NFC North last night, seriously. I'm asking, are you comfortable now thinking about this team as a contender? Because I think over the last 14 games, they've won 11, and they've done it in a very replicable, sustainable, consistent, and frankly, efficient and effective way by running the ball very well and shutting down the other team's running game. You can weigh in on all that. Let me go back to the phone lines. 517-342-63. Zach has waited patiently. What's up, man?
Hey, Beanie. How's it going today?
I'm good. What you got?
Hey, so just for the Bean Counter Contest, I'll take, I saw the over-under was 34.5, so I'll grab 34. I'm assuming that's still available.
Yep.
You're good. What else?
And so I'm going to go back to, I'm not real good at talking pro ball. I am a Packers fan, and that's who I grew up rooting for as a kid, and that's my pro team. But I guess the one thing I really like about what's going on with the Packers right now is Jaden Reed is getting some playing time. I really mm-hmm. think he fell into a good situation being drafted by them. And so it's really fun to see how he's coming along. I know he had a few drops last week, but
and man, he scores. Well, how about last night, stupidly touching that punt and then missing it when it bounced 10 yards and almost, I mean, it was a disastrous performance for the Packers anyway. It was almost that much worse. That was his own only hiccup, though. He did catch the bomb on the controversial no time on the clock play. But yeah, I'm with you. He's in a good spot because he gets to play a lot right away.
Right. And so, and then I'm also going to jump on, I've never been a true Lions fan, but for the last couple of years, you know, I've been drinking a little bit of the blue Kool-Aid. And so I do think that they are in a power position to win the North. But once you get into the playoffs, it's a whole new learning curve there. Yeah. You know, now you have to learn how to win that playoff game. And, you know, I really hope they do it. I'm really cheering for them this year.
All right, man.
So, that's about all I got.
Okay. Thanks, Zach. I appreciate it. You're in the drawing, and thanks for your patience there on the line as we had a pretty long break and all that, too. I think I just had Frank in Lansing, but it looks like you dropped. Mm-hmm. You can call us back, Frank. I'll get to you. 517-300-4263. Let me get a couple more digital ones in here, Dr. J. Ready?
Okay. Yep.
Nick and DeWitt is saying 36. Is that available?
Yes.
Okay, you're good. Thanks for that. That's from the free game, 7:30 a.m. app. Thanks, Nick. Gus, hold on. I just lost Gus's. Gus and Okemos had a submission, too, but, you know, that would require some functioning internet. Gus, here it is. Gus is taking the winning strategy. He says 5.
Yes, Gus.
I know that's available. Well
Perfect.
Done.
That's what I would do.
Now, listen, I don't mean to cause Gus any problems here, and I'm not rooting against you, Gus and Okemos, but how come no one has picked 1 yet, or 0, whatever. Every week, someone should bet 0 or 1, Price is Right style.
Yeah.
It just should.
Yeah.
Like, eventually, that's going to hit. Right?
Yeah, I would say so. And this is the week that I would go real low. So, Gus
okay.
made a good choice.
Joaquin's Beard and EL says 27 to 10 Hawkeyes. So, that's 37. Is yep. that available?
He's good.
Okay. Let me read the rest of his message, and I'll get back to the phones. Okay, Mr. Joaquin's Beard says, Iowa 27 to 10 over MSU. For an anemic offense like that of the Hawkeyes, a Scotty Hazleton sieve defense is just what the doctor ordered. Totally agree. Yeah. As far as MSU's weak offense, it all starts with the O-line. It would not shock me if the Spartans get shut out. Have a great weekend, Beanie and Dr. J. Appreciate it, Mr. Beard. You are in the drawing, and let me go back to the phone lines. Frank and Lansing, is that you?
No, I'm OG.
Oh, it's OG. I thought I had Frank and Lance. I'm sorry, I must have hit the wrong one. Well, anyway, OG, go ahead. You want in the Iowa MSU points contest?
38.
Dr. J, is that available?
No.
Okay, you want 37?
Nope,
that's the next.
That's not available.
36, 35.
No, 35.
35 is available. You want that?
29.
29 is available.
Okay, you're good. You got anything else? You got any betting insights for me?
Yeah, no, but I got a compliment for you.
All right.
I listened yesterday all day because of the rain to sports talk starting early in the morning until late at night. And the one that was the funniest yesterday was you and Dr. J.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it. Were we trying to be funny?
I don't think so.
You guys had me laughing so hard when you started saying that Taylor Swift
is going to
be on the injured reserve. Dr. J is sticking up for her. And say, oh, no, she'll be all right. She'll be all right.
I just don't get it. I don't see how it's going to work. And I don't, frankly.
Stop. You know how that works, dude.
You know how it works.
I get that it physically will work, but I don't get how it can work long term. And I don't know how she can survive. Like, he's a 6'5", 250 pounds. She's like a toothpick.
I'll say it again. She'll be fine.
Is she enough woman for him?
At least Dr. J and I know what we're talking about. <'cause we're fine. laughs>
That's true. I haven't been with Taylor Swift.
So. Yesterday, when you were talking about coaches, Allen of Indiana, who's a dead man walking, I like that.
Yep.
Marcus Freeman from Notre Dame, I think, would be a good pick because you know why? At least he's not going to create the humility of all the people that are associated with MSU like Tucker did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the next guy, even if it doesn't work out on the field, at least we know the next guy won't embarrass us like this publicly, right? Did I lose you? You there,
you don't
OG?
Wash your laundry out in public.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else before I cut you loose?
No, I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate you some days. Some days you're good, some days you're bad, like me.
That's okay. Well, I appreciate you.
One more thing.
Yeah.
One more thing. You played in a band, and this Dr. J character that you got on there. Do you remember a guy called Dr. J the Night Tripper?
No. Should I?
Yeah. He had an album out, Dr. J, slipping in the slide and going to hiding.
Okay. Yep. We'll check that out.
Dr. J the Night Tripper. I'm gone. Bye.
Thanks.
I love OG.
Me too. Yeah. And I appreciate that you appreciate me some of the times when I'm good.
Sometimes you're good, sometimes you're bad, just like everyone else.
I appreciate you all the time because you're always honest.
Yep.
We will look into that Dr. J Night Tripper song.
Will
and
that
maybe
be
that,
my theme song?
Yeah,
now?
Maybe. I might have to cut a remix, a spoof called Night Stripper.
No.
Because that'd be more accurate.
Absolutely not.
That's what all the listeners want.
What?
Radio is about giving the people what they want.
Okay.
Night Stripper.
No, thanks.
Do we have to... The Taylor Swift thing.
Do we have to get back into it?
Did you get what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying, but you don't know what you're talking about.
I feel like we're tiptoeing around this.
Yes.
What I don't get is when they...
You know, you've been very clear.
When they make Whoopi. That's an FCC compliant way.
I didn't.
I just don't understand how she can survive that. This guy is a monster.
Yes.
He's 6'5", 250 of pretty much solid muscle.
Uh-huh. Do you need me? You need me to say this? Some women like that.
Well, I'm not saying it wouldn't be enjoyable for her.
She'll be just fine.
No, there's a wear and tear factor, and I do know that. And you can just do the math on your
get
own.
Get out of here.
Now, I may not be 6'5",
oh my goodness,
250 of solid muscle, but I'm 6'4", 260 of solid love muscle.
Leaving.
Dr. J could tell
I
you
can't.
All
you stop.
About that.
Get out of here.
Well, it got a little too real in here. 517-300-4263. Okay, caller, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Yeah, this is Ron and DeWitt.
Hi, Ron and DeWitt. What's up?
Not a whole lot. I just wanted to talk about the Lions a little bit.
Yeah, go ahead.
I believe they have a legitimate chance, but probably the biggest problem would be injuries. If, like the previous caller said, if Goff goes down, you can pretty much forget it because he's so in sync with the receivers. They just don't have anybody. So just like Nick Chubb of the Browns, he went down, and now the Browns aren't in good shape because of that. So really their biggest enemy is themselves and getting hurt. If they, everybody stays healthy, I can see them in the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
What happened with Branch last night? Is he out?
No, he's not out. He came back to the game. They didn't say what it was. You could see him pointing at his ankle, and it did look like it gave a little bit, and they taped it up heavy duty, and he came back and then looked like he re-aggravated it, but then walked off okay. We don't have any official word on that. It seems like he rolled his ankle. X-rays were negative, so he's going to be okay. And the nice thing about playing a Thursday night game is afterwards you have a mini bye. So you have like 10 days for the next game.
Yeah, that guy's a go-getter.
He is.
He's something special on defense. And like I mentioned before, if Goff doesn't get hurt, it's over. You know, we can just hope and pray everybody stays safe and healthy, and we'll get through this. I believe we have a legitimate shot.
I do too, man. I'm glad to hear someone say that other than me. And before I cut you loose, Ron, did you want in the MSU-Iowa points contest?
Sure.
Total combined points without going over between the two.
Is 37 been taken?
Yes, it has.
That is, what's next close? 34?
35 is available.
35 is available.
All right, I'll take 35.
All right.
You got it. Thanks, Ron. Appreciate the call.
Bye.
Still time for you to get in, and, you know, there's a ton of different ways if you haven't so far. Here's how. 517-300-4263. You can email the show, beanie@wvfnam.com. Randy, Bassboat Randy, has done that. Here we go. this is a smart pick. Randy, with our second lowest injury so far, this is 12.
12, okay.
But wait, it gets better. 12, not just 12, but 12 in triple overtime. Probably.
Yeah.
When they get to that 2-point convert. So it's going to be 0-0 at the end of the half.
Mm-hmm.
And then how does that happen? Like, State gets two, right? So that would be four. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, that can't work. You can't win 8-4 in triple overtime.
Well, what if there's a field goal each?
Okay, so then
we have
you're six
at
going
the end,
into
going into it, and then there's a 2-point conversion contest.
Okay, I don't want to think about this.
Okay,
the point is, it was a good joke, and I don't even know if Randy's joking. So you're on the board at 12. Okay, the mayor of Holt is now weighing in the free game 7:30 a.m. app, which you can too if you just click chat in the main menu, send over a free text. John Freeberg says, "Can I have 28?"
Yes. Yes, he can.
All right. You're in, Mr. Freeberg, at 28. Okay. All right. I got time for one more before we go to break. John in Grand Ledge says, I'll take 42. Dr. J, is that available?
It is.
What do these people think? And I'm not saying that in a bad way. But there have been some high picks. Can you give me some of them? John in Grand Ledge says 42.
42 is a high one.
Someone else said 48.
41.
So what do you guys, are you guys thinking like Iowa's just going to roll them up and keep running points up so Brian Ferentz can save his job?
That's what I would say, yeah.
Me too. Like you guys don't think this is like, okay, what did John say?
42.
42, so that would be like what? 22-20? Is that even a score? 21-20, yeah. Okay, so what would a realistic score be there? 23-19? Yeah, that sounds like something Iowa and Michigan State. That sounds like the kind of abomination they would put together.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't get a feel that it's going to be close like that. Sorry, guys. I got to call them like I see them.
It's going to be rough.
He continues here. He says, John in Grand Ledge says, Lions, Tigers, and Red Wings are all doing much better. If you would have told me the Tigers are going to win 76 games this year, I would have told you you're nuts. The Lions are much better. I'm not seeing them win a Super Bowl, but we're moving the right direction. Wings are going to compete this year. Here's the deal. The city of Detroit is no longer the murder capital of the world.
Oh.
Was it ever really, or is that just something mean, you know, people said?
Yeah, I think that was just mean.
He continues, Detroit is a nice place. I like taking my family down there, spending the weekend and enjoying the town, going to a game, going to a concert. It's nice. I agree. Like, look, Detroit is like any other big city. It's no different.
Mm-hmm.
The downtown is awesome. Are there bad parts and bad elements? Yes. But if you're dumb enough to go down there, that's your own fault, you know, to the bad parts. Stay out of the bad parts, which are pretty easy to identify in every city. If you're downtown where all the lights and everything is and all the to-do is going on, you're going to be fine. That's the way it is in every big city.
Mm-hmm.
He says, the city of Detroit is no longer the murder capital of the world. Detroit is a nice place. I like taking my family down there, spending the weekend and enjoying the town, going to a game, going to a concert. It's nice. Do you want to go to downtown Chicago? Well, that's the same thing. Downtown Chicago is excellent. River North, hey, listen, I like Detroit, but it can't hold a candle to River North in downtown Chicago. They got a Trump Tower, guys.
Yeah, that makes them great.
Really, what does it for me is they got a Harry Carey's Italian Steakhouse. Anyway, he says, we can get free agents to come to Detroit now because it's a good place for their families to live in Detroit. I don't know. I still don't think it's a particularly attractive free agent location. And it's not just because it has nothing to do with downtown Detroit. I think it's because Michigan is not a nice climate.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's not a nice climate, why would a multi-million-dollar 20-something guy want to come to a place where the women are always bundled up in multiple layers? And I'm not, that's not a joke. If the choice is South Beach or Detroit,
mm-hmm.
and the money is anywhere near the same, it's going to be South Beach every time because weather, women, and W-2s. And what I mean by that, no state income tax in Florida.
Right.
I think that's the bigger issue here. Honest to God. People don't talk about that, but the states that don't have a state income tax, that's a huge advantage in free agency and professional sports, don't you think?
Yeah.
Solid analysis. Thank you.
I had nothing else to add.
Thank you for contributing.
I'm not going to talk when there's nothing to say.
Oh, okay. John has another message here. Okay, what? What is this? This must be tied to the Colin Kaepernick stuff.
Oh, boy.
Are you ready for this?
No. Go ahead.
He says, are you kidding me? He kneeled because he was benched. He was crying like a B-word baby in the media, and you're making a big deal out of it. You're a racist.
What?
Okay, hold on. If you're criticizing Kaepernick, and you're saying me making a big deal out of it makes me a racist. Wouldn't that mean I'm racist against black people? Not the other way? I'm getting the sense John is calling me racist against white people.
What?
I don't know. Spoiler alert, I'm not. I am white. Well, I know I appeal completely of a different ethnicity.
Oh, absolutely.
But also, let's get some facts right here. He did not kneel because he was benched.
No.
He was benched 4 games into the regular season. The kneeling took off and became a thing in the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
Colin Kaepernick played and started the first four games that season. And by the way, had a 16-4 touchdown interception ratio. The kind, oh, I don't know, probably 30 other teams would love to have. He was crying like a B word in the media, and you're making a big deal out of it. You're a racist. Help me understand, honestly, how does that make me a racist?
I have no idea. That doesn't make any sense.
Me complaining about all the big to-do and, frankly, the political opportunism that took over the flag thing in the NFL makes me racist?
No.
Against what race? Stupid people?
Oh, no.
Is that a race? That was the ultimate, like, bait and switch. The ultimate political opportunism.
Yeah.
Right? It's just so dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and by the way. Yeah, what the hell? I'm going to dunk on John here.
Uh-oh. Go ahead.
So, John in Grand Ledge, I'm a racist, huh? That's rich coming from a guy who, a week ago, messaged in about the Mel Tucker thing, referencing a rope in a tree.
Ooh.
You freaking idiot. How stupid are you? I feel bad for people who know you and are related to you. Or just, frankly, let me rephrase that. The people who have to deal with you. Are you brain dead? I hope you don't have a driver's license.
He seriously did that?
Can you imagine? We share the road with someone this dumb.
Oof.
You're going to call me a racist. When a number of days ago, you messaged in, and I didn't read it because it was so heinous and frankly wouldn't do anything for the content of this program. Talking about Mel Tucker and the whole situation, which fine, you're upset by it. I get it. And I am too. And I think he's the biggest idiot maybe ever. But you referenced a rope in a tree.
Mm.
Now, either you're the challenging Mel Tucker for being the dumbest person ever and didn't realize maybe I shouldn't use phraseology invoking ropes in trees when a black man is involved. Or you're the racist, you idiot. This is a perfect example of why society and culture is going down the drain.
Yikes.
You've got psychological projection run amok in 2023. People like this who get on social media or, you know, digital avenues and criticize other people, and their criticisms are the biggest tattletales on themselves ever. I'm a racist? Yeah, because I message into sports radio stations when black coaches get fired referencing ropes and trees. You freaking moron. It's offensive-minded. I'm Beanie, and this is the game, 7:30 a.m.
Oh. The Barton football team is back for another season on the Lansing Sports Network. The Big Talker 1240 WJIM and Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ. Never miss another touchdown or tackle again. Stream the game in the free Lansing Sports Network app powered by Whitelaw PLLC, MSU Healthcare, Schupan and Sons, Gravity Smokehouse, Doubting Industries, and Chandler's Top Shelf.
Back to a discussion you may not be ready to have.
He's not afraid to pop the lid on subjects the other guys are.
Beanie
with Offensive Minded on the game, 7:30 a.m.
Someone talked trash about Chicago. Now CM Punk showing up on our show. Nah, it's just me, Beanie. Offensive Minded here on the game, 7:30 a.m. Okay. There's still time to get your bean counter contest picks in. Total combined points, if any at all, between MSU and Iowa tomorrow night. Without going over, whoever's closest, again, Price is Right rules, will win a $25 gift certificate to the Nut House of downtown Lansing. So you still got time to get all those picks into us. But while you're marinating, I needed to talk about this. I ran out of time yesterday. But the Daily Herald out of Chicago is reporting that Pat Fitzgerald is finalizing a lawsuit against Northwestern alleging breach of contract, an estimated potential gross recovery near $100 million. So Dan Webb is his attorney, is set to announce the filing no later than October 14th. Fitzgerald is going to seek more than $40 million from his existing contract, which was scheduled to run through 2030. He's also, now this is interesting, he's also expected to ask for a large additional sum in lost coaching income from the following decade, which would end around his 66th birthday in December 2040.
Huh?
Well, you've heard of this, but people sue for lost wages.
Yeah.
So in this case, he's suing for what was left on his contract, which was $40 million because it runs through 2030. But then on top of it, he's going to sue for what he expected he would make with his next contract for the next decade, which he's pegging at $60 million at least.
That's bizarre to me that he thinks he's going to get that after leaving in disgrace, right?
Yes. I mean, he didn't leave. He was fired for cause because of the hazing thing. But I don't think it's crazy. I think that's smart lawyering.
Ugh.
Well, you can ask for the moon. That doesn't mean you're going to get it. And the fact, and the same with Tucker's situation, it's like, is it even really about that? No, they're angling toward a settlement. Mm-hmm. Will this ever see the light of day in court? I don't think so. I don't think Pat Fitzgerald's thing is going to court against Northwestern. I think this is all about a settlement. I don't think the lawsuit, by the way, that Mel Tucker's lawyers officially notified Michigan State of yesterday that it's on the way, that they're preparing it. They sent a letter to Michigan State instructing them not to destroy any correspondence between the two, as it will be needed in a forthcoming wrongful termination lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that has anything to do with the courtroom either. I think that's all angling toward a settlement. It's like pushing Michigan State to the brink of so much bad PR. What's your breaking point where you're willing to pay several million dollars just to make it all go away? Who is, and I think that's probably the right legal strategy, Dr. J, think of it this way. Who do you think has the bigger appetite to be humiliated in the media more? Mel Tucker or Michigan State?
Right.
I think it's Mel Tucker. We've talked about this with the coaching search. People are bringing up Urban Meyer, and I tell you, look, if I were in charge and it were up to me, of course, I would give that guy $15 million a year because I know right out of the gate they're going to win 10 games at least.
Mm-hmm.
He's a top three all-time college football coach, and he's available, and he's 59. I know that's the wrong side of 50, but you make exceptions for goats. Of course I would hire him. The problem is we're not living in that fantasy world. We're living in reality. And the people in charge of Michigan State, their kryptonite is caring about what the Detroit media says, which blows my frickin' mind.
Yeah.
You are never getting positive or even neutral treatment from the Detroit media. Why do you care that the coach you're going to hire, which could be one of the greatest ever, would curry poor media attention? Why does that matter? You're going to get that negative media attention anyway.
Yeah.
What do you give a damn? Anyway, that's my point. I think Michigan State will tap out of the negative PR before Mel Tucker would. He's already ruined. And the guy's personal life is a mess. He was already said he was estranged, and I'm sure his kids are not handling it well, and that's who I feel worse for.
Yeah.
You know, his family.
What do his brand guidelines say about negative media? Do you know?
We don't have a copy of all 51 pages. Let's effort that. Can you contact his personal PR firm?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, by the way, not only do I think the Tucker thing is angling toward a settlement too, look, not just because of that, I don't think he wants that to go to court either. You know why?
There's more there.
Yeah. I'll put it to you this way. Without saying anything, let me just say it this way. I don't think Mel wants to go to court because there'd be some more unflattering details that would be uncovered during the discovery phase.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't take much investigation to find them. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Well, just like common sense, somebody who is going to do mm-hmm. what he is alleged to have done.
Yeah.
It's not their first time.
I don't even know about that part of it. I'm just saying someone who has that remarkably poor judgment, it's a safe bet they've made other poor choices.
Right.
And do you think Michigan State would go into a courtroom against him with $80 million on the line and play nice? No. They're his employer. They would have access to way more investigative materials
mm-hmm.
than just a PI on him, considering he was their employee for a while. I don't think either sides want that. But I know Michigan State doesn't because you know, just allergic to negative media attention, which is hilarious because that's all it gets. Mm-hmm. You'd think you'd be used to it by now.
Yeah.
I tell you this, though. I'm convinced Tucker doesn't want that going to court. There's some more skeletons that would come out of the closet. Let's just put it that way. And I'll leave it at that. Let me take one last break. We'll come back, and I'll give you my picks, and we'll get out. It's Offensive Minded. I'm Beanie. This is The Game, 7:30 a.m.
Doubting Industries' presentation of high school football rolls on in week number 6 as we visit the CMAC for the first time this season. It's the Fowler Eagles at the Pullama Westphalia Pirates. Pre-game coverage begins at 6 o'clock with interviews with both coaches and with Brian Callaway, the prep sports editor of the Lansing State Journal and LSJ.com. The best small school rivalry in the mid-Michigan area, Fowler at Pullama Westphalia, this Friday night beginning at 6 o'clock. Here on The Game, 7:30 a.m. WVFN, brought to you by Doubting Industries and the Lansing Sports Commission.
Warning, listening to The Game, 7:30 a.m. may cause excessive cheering.
Yeah!
We're The Game, 7:30 a.m.
That's right. Most of you are done working for the weekend. It is the weekend. Congratulations. I'm 10 minutes away. And then I got to make up for lost time. That means alcohol. But I'll send you out like I always do when we close the week. Here are the picks for football this weekend without further ado. Let's take a look in the retrospective first. Last week, it went 5-3. Smaller slate last week, I guess. 3-1 in college, 2-2 in the NFL. On the season now, 23-13. That's 15-8 in college and 8-5 in the pros. That kind of makes sense. You know, Saturdays, you do okay. Sunday, you get your ass kicked. That's betting on football, folks. Let's start with college. Number 10, Utah, 4-0. Heads to number 19, Oregon State. They're 3-1. Our Beavers are laying 4. 9 o'clock tonight on Fox Sports 1.
Go Beavs.
I'll just tell you right now, with everything going on in this game, okay, Utah quarterbacks are still splitting reps in practice. Rising hasn't debuted yet. There's no indication he will this week. I just highly doubt that Kyle Whittingham trots him out for the first time after that injury against a blitz-happy Oregon State defense that's looking to make amends for a loss last week. And plus, Utah, no good at all at running the ball so far. That's surprising. I just don't think they're going to put him in a position where it's all on him in his first game back on the road against a really good Oregon State team. Utah's front seven, one of the few teams in the Pac-10, Pac-12, Pac-2, whatever you want to call it, that I think is actually up to the challenge that Oregon State presents up front on the ground. Utah just letting up a total of 263 yards per game on average. That's best in the Pac-12, ninth in the country. Last week, they held UCLA, Chip Kelly's high-powered offense, to just 9 yards rushing on 32 attempts. That's 0.3 yards per carry. I don't want to touch the line, though, because of the injury situation. I don't know, just in four is not a good number. If we're talking 3, maybe. I'm more interested in the total, which opened at 47.5 and has come down to 44. And that could make sense to play. It's a bounce-back opportunity to Oregon State. They lost on the road at Washington State 38-35 last week. And Utah, probably still a little beat up from last week. They beat UCLA 14-7, but they ran the ball 48 times for 102 yards. That's what I'm saying. Like, that has a toll. All of this points to the under, so that's what I'm going to do. I know it's shrunk. I wish I could still get it at 47.5, but right now it's at 44, where 86% of the bets are on the under, 94% of the money on the under, too. I'll go under, and I'll move on to my next game. Number 8, USC, 4-0, laying 21.5 on the road at Coach Prime, a real in Coach Prime that still has a duck foot-sized imprint on his ass. Colorado's 3-1. This is the noon kick tomorrow on Fox. That sucks. I'm not interested in that number. 21.5 is a huge number to lay on the road for anyone. I'm not interested in that. Especially, I'll just tell you, I don't think USC is very good. There, I said it. They obviously have the best player in the country. He's going to be the number one overall pick in April, and Caleb Williams. But that defense is still non-existent. This has been Lincoln Riley's bugaboo everywhere so far. He hired Alex Grinch as the DC. Still can't exercise those defensive demons. Look at last week, man. They struggled. A 6-point game at Arizona State in the fourth quarter. Colorado's, you know, come crashing down the earth courtesy of those Ducks. But this is an opportunity to move the ball again. USC does not have a defense to speak of. But Buffaloes can't run the ball, and they can't protect Shedeur Sanders either. USC is number three nationally in sacks and sixth in pressure rate. Not a good combo. Oregon exposed and humiliated them. But I just don't think Coach Prime lets that humiliation linger into a second game. I don't think there's another blowout here is what I'm saying. And the noon kick makes it hard on both teams, but especially USC. This is a 9 a.m. feel to them. 10 a.m. for Colorado. USC couldn't cover the spread last week against ASU. I don't think they're covering it on the road against Coach Prime, but I do like the total. Listen to that. This is Pac-12, baby. The total is 73.5. 56% of the bets are on the under, but 61% of the money is on the over. I just think everything's pointing toward under. So that's where I'm going here. I'm taking the under 73.5. Next, we'll go number 11 Notre Dame, 4-1, laying 5.5 at number 17 Duke, who's 4-0, 7:30 Saturday. Mike Elko, who is on everyone's short list for MSU, I wonder if he's already campaigning for the job. He told the media last night that they're going to show the team 300 tonight to get them fired up for the game, okay. And that they do the 300 Spartans chant, thing. Is this guy just kind of like shaking his ass for state in the media?
That's what I would do.
Anyway, I bet Notre Dame bounces back. But Duke, you know, this is not going to be an easy. It's a road game at night. I just don't like Notre Dame laying 5.5. So I'll take the 5.5 on Duke's side. And we'll close it out with Michigan State. I have to talk about this game even though I don't want to, and I'll pick it just for the sake of content. So State, you know, 2-2 at Iowa, 3-1. Iowa, this opened at Iowa minus 13. It's down to laying 10.5. Of course, this is a 7:30 special on Peacock tomorrow on your cockcast.
Stop it.
They're cockcasters.
You're not allowed to say that.
Yes, it's an apostrophe in front of it.
Oh, my goodness.
You can, too. It's Peacock. I don't know. Don't get me wrong. State is terrible. But I don't trust Iowa to cover a 10.5 point spread because I don't know if they can score 10 or 11 points, period. The total is at 36.5.
No.
Am I crazy for wanting to play the under here? 78% of the bets are on the under with 85% of the money on the under. You know, Iowa got their ass kicked at Penn State last week, 31-0. Listen, these numbers are crazy, Doctor. You're going to love this. They only had 4 first downs. They went 1-for-9 on third down. Penn State ran more plays than Iowa had total yards.
No.
Penn State ran 90-plus plays. Iowa had 76 yards of offense. That
so
is the most
bad
Iowa stat ever. Iowa has 47 receptions on the season, 14 are from receivers. Now Cade McNamara is burying the coaches at press conferences. This is great. For State, I think you want to bench Kim. You would start someone else here, but you can't do that to Hauser or Leavitt in a night game at Iowa. Mm-hmm. That's cruel. That's cruel and unusual punishment that lands you in coaching jail. It's an opportunity for Brian Ferentz to get back on track towards saving his job, isn't it? It's contractually mandated. Iowa must average 25 points per game and win at least 7 or else he's fired. Through 4 games, not looking good. He needs to be at least 100 points through 4 games. They're at 85 after getting shut out 31-0 last week in State College. That means he needs to be at 125 after the State game, meaning he needs to put up at least 40 on the Spartans. Is that possible?
Yes.
Here's Iowa's output so far. Against Utah State at home, 24. At Iowa State, they scored 20. At home versus Western, they scored 41 and then 0 last week at Penn State. I just don't believe it. I think they win comfortably, but I'm going under the 36.5 in a college football game between Power 5 schools. I'm going to go under 36.5. That's how bad Iowa's offense is, and that's how bad Michigan State everything is. I think I'm out of time. I can't even do NFL picks.
Mm-hmm.
What a shame.
Wow.
I got the one right last week, though. Excuse me, last night.
Yeah, you
That's
do.
All that matters.
Ha-ha.
So, you know what? See you tomorrow on the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show, 4 to 6 p.m. on Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ and the game 7:30 a.m. Excuse me, and 1240 WJIM, Lansing's Big Talker. Until then, for Dr. J and everyone here, this has been Offensive Minded on the game 7:30 a.m., and I'm Beanie. Have a good weekend and be safe and be good.